Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by for JinkoSolar Holding Company Limited fourth quarter 2021 earnings conference call. At this time, all participants are in listening only mode, and after management's prepared remarks, there will be a question and answer session. As a reminder, today's conference call is being recorded. I would now like to turn the meeting over for your host for today, Ms. Stella Wang, JinkoSolar's Investor Relations. Please proceed, Stella.
Thank you, operator. Hi, everyone. Thank you for joining us today for JinkoSolar's fourth quarter 2021 earnings conference call. The company's results were released earlier today and available on the company's IR website at www.jinkosolar.com, as well as on Newswire services. We have also provided a supplemental presentation for today's earnings call, which can also be found on the IR website. On the call today from JinkoSolar are Mr. Li Xiande, Chairman of the Board of Directors and Chief Executive Officer of JinkoSolar Holding Company Limited, Mr. Janet Miao, Chief Marketing Officer of JinkoSolar Company Limited, Mr. Pan Li, Chief Financial Officer of JinkoSolar Holding Company Limited, and Mr. Charlie Cao, Chief Financial Officer of JinkoSolar Company Limited. Mr. Li will discuss JinkoSolar's business operations and company highlights, followed by Mr. Miao, who will talk about the sales and the marketing, and then Mr. Pan Li, who will go through the financials. They will all be available to answer your questions during the Q&A session that follows. Please note that today's discussion will contain forward-looking statements made under the Safe Harbor Provisions of the U.S. Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements involve inherent risks and uncertainties. As such, our future results may be materially different from the views expressed today. Further information regarding this and other risks is included in JinkoSolar's public filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission. JinkoSolar does not assume any obligation to update any forward-looking statement except as required under the applicable law. It is now my pleasure to introduce Mr. Li Xiande, Chairman and CEO of JinkoSolar Holding. Mr. Li will speak in Mandarin, and I will translate his comments into English. Please go ahead, Mr. Li.
我们很高兴凭借四季度优异的运营和财务业绩，为充满挑战的2021年交上了一份圆满的答卷。尽管经历了上游原材料的涨价和高档的海运费所带来的挑战，我们凭借强大的供应链管理和市场预判能力， 实现了四季度营业收入和出货量的大幅增长。由于大尺寸自产产能的提升和大尺寸产能销售的增长，我们的成本结构进一步优化，盈利水平提升。四季度我们的营业利润环比增长超过三倍，非美国会计准则净利润环比增长近13倍。更可喜的是，2022年一季度我们主要运营 公司的金科能源股份有限公司完成了A股科创板的上市。资本的助力将为公司的技术和业务的发展提供动能。未来的竞争将是企业综合实力的竞争。我们将继续夯实公司的技术、全球市场的布局和综合管理能力的竞争力。
We were very pleased to close a very challenging 2021 with excellent results. We were able to swiftly respond to supply chain volatility and logistic challenges thanks to our competitive advantages in supply chain management and the comprehensive advantages of our global network. Revenues and shipments grew significantly in the fourth quarter as a result of the increasing proportion of the in-house large-size production capacity and large-size product sales. Our integrated costs declined further, and our profitability further improved. Sequentially, operating profit quadrupled, and non-GAAP net profit increased by approximately 13 times. In the first quarter of 2022, our principal operating subsidiary, Zhangjinko, completed its listing on the Shanghai Stock Exchange Science and Technology Innovation Board. the capital raised with provided greater momentum for the development of our state-of-the-art technology and the business. Our ability to successfully compete in the future rests on our comprehensive strength. We will continue to increase our competitiveness in technology, global market network, and also the comprehensive management skills.
虽然斯坦博弈贯穿了2021年全年, 终端需求依然强劲, 2021年中国全年新增装机规模近55个G瓦, 其中分布式凭借更灵活的业务模式和更高的价格容忍度脱颖而出, 贡献了超过一半的新增装机, 预计今年能将成为新增装机的驱动主力。 我们看好分布式的发展前景, 并加大了在分布式领域的布局。 2022年以来, 为提升能源的独立性, 实现清洁能源转型, 逐渐成为全球主要经济体的战略性诉求。 我们认为未来几年光伏行业的成长空间依然可期, 先进的高效N型产品将支撑其行业的持续增长。
Despite a challenging 2021, the demand from end users keeps increasing compared with 2020. More flexible business models and a lower price sensitivity are helping the distributed generation business achieve rapid growth. China's installation capacity reached 55 gigawatts for the full year of 2021, with DG contributing more than half of new installations due to its higher economic returns. We hope this trend to remain the driving force for newly added installations in 2022. We are highly optimistic about the development prospects in distributed generation markets, and we continue to grow our brand influence in these markets. With the strategic needs for energy transformation and energy security in major world economies, we expect the PV industry to continue its strong growth momentum in the coming years. Advanced and high-efficient end-time products will support the continued growth of the global PV industry.
当技术进步成为光伏行业的发展的主旋律, 我们保持着敏锐的市场判断和技术的创新, 持续引领行业的前进。 四季度我们海宁基地900兆瓦 型的电池量产效率达到了24.5%, 良率已经接近破坑。 今年一季度我们合肥和海宁16个G瓦N型电池厂的正式投产, 目前正在顺利爬坡, 我们的一体化产能结构不断的完善, 有助于一体化成本的持续下降。
We continue to lead the industry with our innovative technology and in-depth market knowledge. In our Henning facility, our mass-produced N-type cell reached an ultra-high conversion efficiency of up to 24.5% in the fourth quarter last year, an energy yield similar to that of a PERC. We have roughly 16 gigawatts of N-type cell capacity operational in the first quarter of 2022 and currently are steadily ramping up our production capacity. Our integrated cost is expected to further decrease as our integrated production capacity structure consistently improves.
面对行业正在从P型向N型的加快转型, 以及下游客户对更高效的产品的需求, 我们推出了超高效新一代的N型产品 Tecnio, 凭借更高的发电性能, 表现受到全球市场的欢迎。 长期以来, 我们稳定的供货能力和本地化的销售服务体系, 有效地保障了产品和服务的可靠性和一致性, 这都构建了我们的竞争壁垒。 目前N型产品在全球主流市场享有溢价, 我们将持续通过海外市场的深耕和国内布局的提升, 让N型组件成为全球市场的领跑者, 进一步提升我们的全球市场竞争力和盈利水平。
In light of the rapid industry transition from P-type to N-type and the growing demand for higher efficiency products, we have launched the next generation of N-type ultra-efficiency Tiger Neo modules. These modules have received a worldwide acclaim from our customers for better power generation performance and obtained premium. In the long run, our stable supply and localized after-sales service network will continue to guarantee the reliability and the consistency of our products and services. These core qualities have become our competitive moat. We will reinforce the leadership position of our N-type modules globally and further enhance our global market share and profitability.
我们的越南7G瓦的硅片厂在一季度正式投产，在海外将形成7G瓦的单晶硅片电池组件的一体化生产制造能力，全球供应链优势进一步巩固。在面临紧缺的原材料环节，我们协同上下游进行资源互补的战略合作，致力于打造行业生态圈的集群。垂直一体化的能力是头部企业竞争的必备能力，通过不断建立起产业链一体化的优势，我们希望能够持续降低核心产品的成本，提高高效产品的附加值。
Our 7 gigawatt mono wafer plant in Vietnam became officially operational in the first quarter this year. This integrated mono wafer cell module manufacturing capacity of roughly 7 gigawatts overseas further consolidates our global supply chain advantage. We are coordinating with our upstream and downstream partners to tap into all our complementary resources and enhance our strategic cooperation. This will help us mitigate raw material shortages and production weak links. At the same time, we are committed to building a cluster of industrial ecosystems to solidify our supply chain. Vertical integration is essential to compete in the global PV market. By continuously consolidating our diversified industrial chain infrastructure, we believe we will continue to strengthen the competitiveness of our core products and bring great value to our global customers with high quality, reliable modules and premium services.
话题交给简长之前，我来介绍一下业绩指引。2022年第一季度公司的总出货量在 7.5-8G瓦之间，到2022年底，我们的单晶硅片电池组件的产能预计分别达到 50G瓦、40G瓦和 60G瓦。2022年全年包括硅片电池组件的总出货量在35-40G瓦之间。
Before turning over to Jenna, I would like to go over our guidance for the first quarter and the full year 2022. We expect the total shipments to be in the range of 7.5-8GW for the first quarter of 2022. The annual mono wafer solar cells and solar module production capacity is expected to reach 50, 40, and 60GW respectively by the end of 2022.We expect our full-year 2022 shipments, including wafer cells and modules, to be in the range of 35-40GW.
Thank you, Ms. Lee. Total shipments in the fourth quarter were 9.7 gigawatts, of which module shipments were 9 gigawatts, a significant increase compared with the third quarter of 2021 and the same period of 2020.ASP outside North America improved sequentially thanks to the sales of high-efficiency products in high-end markets. In terms of regions, module shipments in Asia-Pacific and emerging markets increased sequentially and year-over-year. China outpaced all other countries by contributing the largest portion in the fourth quarter, from less than 10% in the first half of the year to nearly 34%.As distributed generation gradually becomes the main driving force for newly added installations in China, the sector is expected to increasingly contribute to incremental market volume, encouraged by incentives from the 1+N policy framework that guides the country's climate action and action plan on peak emission and other policies. We are optimistic about China demand will exceed 100 gigawatts in 2022, and we expect the shipments in China market to further increase in the 2022. In Europe, one of the most developed PV markets, clients have accumulated matured awareness for PV and have a higher acceptance of new products such as Tiger Neo modules. By end of 2021, we had shipped our products to more than 30 countries across Europe. Europe became one of our top contributors for total shipments in 2021. With increasing electricity prices making solar energy more economical and a strategic necessity of energy transformation and energy security, Europe is expected to maintain strong growth momentum. We are confident in maintaining our competitiveness in European market by leveraging our local network and the next generation N-type ultra efficiency module Tiger Neo. We launched the next generation N-type Tiger Neo module in the fourth quarter of 2021 and increased the global promotion and the sales, delivering high energy density, high bifacial factor, and the lower linear degradation. Tiger Neo module bring clients better power generation performance and obtain a competitive premium. Meanwhile, we are heavily invested in the future of distributed generation sector. The proportion of distributed generation in our shipment is expected to reach around 40% this year. We will continue to explore the global market demand for distributed generation based on market trends and customer needs, and proactively increase our presence in China, United States, Europe, Brazil, Australia, and explore other potential markets. Countries around the world have adopted various strategies in response to COVID-19, supply chain disruptions, and soaring household gas and electricity bills as the energy crisis bites. Under this backdrop, the global PV market has been driven by green, low carbon, and long-term energy security investment, which will usher in a new period of rapid development. Market demand in 2023 is expected to grow in excess of 20%. We will continue to track market condition and adjust our business strategy accordingly. We are confident that we will contribute to the global energy transformation with our high efficiency products and support customers with our sound marketing and the global service network. With that, I will turn it over to Pan.
Thank you, Jenner. Our fourth quarter results exceeded expectations. Total revenues grew significantly quarter over quarter. We continued relentlessly to take effective management of integrated production costs and operating expenses. Sequentially, gross profit doubled, operating profit more than quadrupled, and non-GAAP net profit increased by 13 times. Operating efficiency improved as a result of our efforts to closely align inventory management with market supply and demand dynamics. Let me go into more details now. Total revenue was 2.57 billion, an increase of 91% sequentially and 74% year over year. Gross margin was 16.1% compared with 15.1% in the third quarter this year and 16% in the fourth quarter last year. Excluding anti-dumping and countervailing duties reversal benefit, gross margin was 14.3%. Total operating expenses nearly doubled year over year, due to a substantial increase in module shipments during the fourth quarter, which increased shipping costs. On one hand, we increased shipments to China to reduce the impact of shipping cost on profitability. And on the other hand, we leveraged our long-term agreement with major shipping companies to obtain more competitive prices compared with the rest of the market. In general, the impact from changes in shipping costs on profitability was relatively under control. Total operating expenses accounted for 13% of total revenues in the fourth quarter this year, flat sequentially and slightly improved compared with 15% in the fourth quarter last year. Operating margin was 3% in the fourth quarter of 2021 compared with 1.3% in the third quarter and 0.8% in the fourth quarter last year. EBITDA was 183 million, doubled compared with 89 million in the third quarter of 2021. Non-GAAP net income was 34 million, an increase of 13 times sequentially, resulting in diluted earnings per ADS of 67 cents. Now I'll brief you on our 2021 full year financial results. Total module shipments were 22.2 gigawatt, up 18% year over year. Total revenues were 6.41 billion, up 16.2% year over year. Increase in module shipments, higher integrated production volumes, together with cost reduction from our industry-leading integrated cost structure, resulting in improved profitability. For the full year of 2021, gross profit was about $1 billion, an increase of about 8% year over year. Gross margin was 16.3% compared with 17.6% last year. Operating margin for the full year of 2021 was 2.7% compared to 5.1% in 2020. Operating expenses were 13.6% of the total revenues in 2021 compared to 12.5% last year. EBITDA was 538 million in 2021 compared to 463.5 million last year. Non-GAAP net income was about 88 million in 2021 compared to 147 million last year. This translates into non-GAAP basic and diluted earnings per ADS of 1.84 and 1.70 respectively. Moving to the balance sheet. At the end of the fourth quarter, our cash and cash equivalents were 1.4 billion, up from 1.14 billion at the end of the third quarter and 1.24 billion at the end of the fourth quarter last year. Our operating efficiency continues to improve quarter over quarter. AR turnover days were 52 days in the fourth quarter compared with 65 days in the third quarter of 2021. Inventory turnover days were reduced to 88 days in the fourth quarter, compared with 171 days in the third quarter of 2021. Total debt was 4 billion at the end of the fourth quarter, compared 2.8 billion at the end of fourth quarter last year. Net debt was 2.56 billion compared to 1.56 billion at the end of the fourth quarter last year. With the listing of Jiangxi Jinko earlier this year, our finance structure is expected to improve with access to competitive financing. This concludes my prepared remarks. We are now happy to take your questions. Operator, please proceed.
Thank you. If you do wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone and 02 to cancel. Our first question comes from Brian Lee with Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hey guys, thanks for taking the questions. I guess maybe just to start off on the guidance, appreciate you giving the views for shipments here in Q1 and for the full year. I think customarily you've given gross margin guidance, not for the year per se, but at least for the out quarter. Any reason, I might have missed this, but did you provide the gross margin guidance and revenue guidance for Q1? And if not, kind of what's the rationale, and I guess what are the puts and takes around the outlook for those metrics in Q1?
Brian, this is Charlie speaking, and you're right. You know, in terms of guidance, we make some small changes compared to the couple the quarters before, and we plan to only give the guidance for the shipments. And in terms of gross margin revenue, range, and firstly, we want to be consistent with, because our subsidiaries in China has been invested in Chinese capital market. So we want to make the consistency, with the regulations in China, which the entities did not provide any, gross margin guidance or as well as the revenue range. Second one is in terms of gross margin, because the supply chain is so volatile, and we don't believe it's at this stage to give a reliable the gross margin range is still in challenge.
Okay, that's fair enough. Maybe at a big picture level, gross margins came in sort of right above the high end of the range for 4Q. So, kudos to you for good execution on that. Are you saying that the supply chain / margin environment is more uncertain in Q1 2022 than what you saw in Q4 21?
The polysilicon price is still well, above our expectations. So in terms of gross margin, we expect some, pressures from that perspective. But from the long-term perspective, we think, poly, the price will return to a more rational level, particularly with more supply, production volume from poly producers in the second half year.
Okay, fair enough. And then for Q4, there was a good amount of non-module shipments. What was your kind of gross margin delta roughly between modules and non-modules? Were they same range or, higher on the non-modules? And if higher, what sort of, percentage or basis points difference?
You mean the Q4 last year or Q1 this year? Sorry.
Yeah, asking about Q4, and then I guess the follow up to that would be what's embedded in your shipment guidance for 22 and Q1 in terms of wafer and non module versus module.
Okay. Yeah. The for the 2022, the guidance for Q1 as well as the full year, the majority part is the module, so you can take the guidance as the module shipments. And regarding the Q4 last year, we did have some the 600 megawatts for the wafer and cell shipments, but it's for the low efficiency wafer and cell, so the margin is roughly very low. And I think, if you're excluding the wafer and the cell margins, the module margins will be a little bit better than the total amount.
Okay, that's great. Last two housekeeping ones, and I'll get back in the queue. The CapEx guidance for 2022, might have missed that, but do you have a CapEx range or number for this year? And then I noticed the tax expense was much higher than usual in Q4. You know, maybe what was the driver of that, and should we be modeling a similar tax rate in 2022? It seems like it was high 20%, sort of close to 30% in Q4. Thank you.
This for CapEx.
Please go ahead.
Yeah, first CapEx for last year, 2021, and it's approximately $1.3 billion. And we expect some new capacity in this year. So it might be in around $1.8 to $1.9 billion.
And just lastly, on the tax rate?
The tax rate, it's in the range of 15% to 20%.
Okay, thanks, guys. I'll pass it on.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Philip Shen with Roth Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for taking my questions. Just wanted to revisit the margin question for Q1. There are just 3 days left in the quarter, so you guys probably have a sense for where margins are. What do you think could still drive or change, be a material kind of impact versus your view, given how late in the quarter we are? And what do you think, can you give us a sense for, do you expect margins in Q1 to be flat versus Q4 or potentially weaker as a result of the higher poly price? Thanks.
In terms of margin, first quarter, I think it's roughly, be flat, quarter over quarter, and maybe slightly lower because of the polysilicon price. And as well as, the RMB, appreciation, standards, particularly in January and February.
Okay, thanks, Charlie. Shifting back to some comments I think Jenner made about Europe and the demand there, was wondering if you could provide a little bit more color on how demand has changed over the past 4 weeks to the European market. Do you also serve the European market from your Southeast Asia facilities? Any kind of color there would be really helpful. Thanks.
Thank you, Phil. This is Jenner. For the global demand of 22, we are pretty optimistic about the global demand, especially what happened in the last, 3-4 weeks time in Europe. We have observed observed a stronger than expected demand coming from Europe, plus the, rush in India and also the recent, the recent strong push from China side. So, adding everything together, we are, looking at the global demand at the range around 240 to 250 gigawatt range. And for the regarding Europe, we believe European market will beat 30 gigawatt pretty soon as a whole. And currently, we still supply European market from China manufacturing base. Our non-China factory base is mainly the origin for U.S. market right now. Hope that answers your question.
Yeah, Jenna, that's great. Thank you. As it relates to the capacity expansion, I think last quarter you guys were expecting wafer cell module to be 40, 40, and 50 gigawatts respectively, and now you're expecting it to be 50, 40, and 60. And so wanted to see if you could help us understand, you know, what drove that meaning, what's driving that meaningful increase in capacity. It seems like it could be related to the stronger demand, but was wondering if you might be able to share more there. And then can you talk about, you know, if you expect 2022 to be, you know, call it 35 to 40 gigawatts, how much of that is booked already for the year? You know, you often have bookings well in advance. And so do you think that's 50% booked or possibly even more? Thanks.
Hey, Phil. I think let me briefly talk about this topic. And for the capacity expansion, yes, we have seen a stronger than expected demand, but mainly we are holding the confidence about the long-term momentum of the stronger global demand. And that is very important, the reason why one of the important reasons why we expand our capacities. Meanwhile, you know, we notice that lots of capacity will release in the second half, even year end. That might help our to meet the demand not only in 2022 but also in 2023 and 2024 even. And also for the booking side, I think we are looking at our bookings. We are more or less around half bookings based on our plan, and we are trying to build more. And very important note here is that we are seeing witnessing a stronger than expected demand for the N-type product. So that's I think the key highlights we trying to expand our capacity. The focus will only be the expansion on the N-type product. Thank you.
Okay, great, thanks. One last question for me as it relates to the shipments from Vietnam and Southeast Asia into the U.S. Have you guys been able to get new volume of shipments into the U.S.? I think it's you guys have non-China poly going into modules, and if so, when do you expect those shipments to arrive at U.S. shores without being impacted by the Hoshine WRO? Thanks.
For that, I think we have seen some positive feedbacks in the last couple of weeks, and we have seen some smaller volume, let's call it samples, being accepted and passed through the CBP inspection, and we are expecting, to build a trustworthy tracking system to make sure that all the shipments going to U.S. market will be fully compliant with the CBP and the WRO requirements. So with that, we started our non-China productions, I think, in the last month and two. And back to your question, we haven't got any massive, let's say 100 megawatt level of shipment arrival in U.S. border yet, but we're still holding the positive views about the future shipments to U.S. market. For sure, there are still some concerns on this recent feelings about this anti-convention stuff, but we will keep a close eye on it. But in general, I think we have one of the best solutions in the industry with our vertical integrated non-China production basis.
Okay. Thank you very much, Jenner. I'll pass it on.
Thank you, Phil.
Our next question comes from Alan Now with Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Thanks a lot for the management. For holding the meeting, and congratulations on the good results. So my first question is about the new TOPCon product. So but on a per watt basis, what do you expect the premium of TOPCon products versus PERC products?
Thank you for your question, Alan. This is Jenner speaking. And regarding the premium, it's hard to justify, a general numbers, but we are building the business model based on, you know, profit sharing business model with our customers. In some cases, we might share, we might get a bigger premium. In some cases, we might get a smaller premium based on, you know, different markets, different radiation conditions, different system designing, or, you know, et cetera. So it varies a lot. But in general, we are seeing, you know, the anti-premium in the current stage, we are seeing anti-premium stay around $2 to $3, but we expect that may become up and down a little. So, but we still are pretty optimistic about this stronger than expected demand about the N-type product. Thank you.
Thank you. So it's around 2 to 3 cents, and I wonder in terms of the margin, would this be better compared to the products?
Yes, you know, this is Charlie speaking. It's for sure, you know, and you know, the new products, you know, N-type, we can get the price premium as well as on the progress to ramp up our capacities to make the, you know, the cost, integrated production cost, is competitive with traditional PERC product.
Thank you. And next question relates to the European markets, because they were ambitious installation targets with the Repower EU initiative, etc. But at the same time, actually, euros are depreciating, so meaning that probably modules is module prices is increasing to them. So I wonder if the company sees still strong demand from the European market in second quarter versus the first quarter. Do you see quarter over quarter growth with probably higher module prices?
Okay, this is Jenner. Let me pick this one. The European demand is stronger than expected, especially in the recent 3-4 weeks time. We can feel the stronger than expected demand mainly coming from this, not only from the distributed generation market segment, but also coming from the utility side as well. But we have seen, you know, quite several, let's say, headwinds around the stronger demand from Europe. One of the challenge just mentioned by you is currency exchange rate. But the other challenges are like the logistics cost. You know, the shipping costs continue to climbing up, which is, you know, big impact factors. And as well as, you know, just the cost of raw material like the polysilicon, like aluminum frame, et cetera. So, but having said that, you know, because the local electricity cost is higher and higher, so we can expect that even with a slightly higher than expected module or solar system cost, you know, the solar system or solar electricity from solar system is one of the most competitive electricity contributors across the whole Europe. I think we are still, that's the reason why we are holding a very big confidence on the European demand, not only for the next coming quarters, but also for the next coming even, you know, 3 or even 5 years time. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, that's very comprehensive. Thanks a lot. Thanks for management, and I've finished for my questions. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Reminder, to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Our next question comes from Rajiv Kaudari with Sansara Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning, and first of all, I want to congratulate you on an amazing fourth quarter as well as on a very successful IPO. Those are big game changers for Jinko Solar going forward. The question I wanted to ask you, I have several questions. The first question is about operating expenses. You had noted that the big change from quarter to quarter in the operating expenses, which was almost $100 million was because of shipping expenses. And yet when I look at the line items, the G&A went up from $60 million in Q3 to $122 million in Q4. So is there any shipping expense included in the G&A, or what is the, can you just explain why G&A went up so much and what the components are of that and how sustainable that is on a go-forward basis? Because G&A has been trending at $50 to $60 million for several quarters now, and all of a sudden it has jumped up 100% in one quarter. So that's my first question.
Hey, hello, this is Charlie speaking. And
yes.
You know, regarding the, you know, the, I think the G&A expenses, it's, you know, it's because, you know, the increase of the, fourth quarter is particularly, you know, some of G&A expenses, it's relating to the employee, you know, year-end bonus, as well as we have incur additional, you know, expenses relating to the A-share company listings. So some of the part is not recurring. And looking, I think the most important is looking to 2022, and we plan, you know, a significant increase of revenue shipments, you know, 35 to 40 gigawatts, which is 25 gigawatts. So, in terms of operating expenses, including everything, you know, we think it's we are going to benefit from the, you know, leverage of the large scale and operating expenses, which is the total revenue will continue to drop quarter by quarter.
Absent the employee bonuses, would you say that at least in the first few quarters of the year, G&A will drop back to the $60 million range, and then the employee bonus will kick in at the end of the year, I assume?
No, it's. I think the major part is, the incremental part. The majority part is the IPO expenses as well as the legal expenses. We are doing a lot of, legal related work, particularly for example the WRO in the U.S. Right, and the litigation with the patent, and for the year-end bonus, we did accrue quarter by quarter. And because we have better, performance, particularly in the fourth quarter, and so the employee, the bonus is relatively higher in the fourth quarter because it's passed down the better than expected year-end performance.
Okay. Charlie, my next question is about shipping costs. Are you at this point, it has become very clear that the shipping costs will stay higher for longer than was originally thought maybe a year ago. Are you having any success in passing the shipping costs and the risk of changes in shipping costs to the final consumer, or you are still having to swallow that cost and its volatility by yourselves?
Sure. Shipping costs will, if the shipping costs will continue to maintain high level, throughout the 2022, but given, the solar, energy is very competitive, a lot of, markets are highly, demanding, for the solar modules. So we are seeing, our flexibilities, from the, let's say, the customer acceptance for the higher module price, including the shipping cost. So we, based on our experience with customers, we are able to, pass through the majority part of the shipping cost to our customers.
So Charlie, as you're looking out at Q1 is almost over, Q2 and beyond, it's clear that at least for now, polysilicon costs have also been higher and may stay higher for longer, especially in the second quarter. Does that mean that that module prices will continue to go up? would you say that module prices in Q1 were higher than Q4, and Q2 they'll be higher than Q1?
Last year in Q4, the module price, market price is reaching to extremely high, almost over, I think RMB2, some, cases. But it's, lower a little bit in the first quarter. But given the high polysilicon price, particularly in the first half year, we're expecting, strong demands and the relatively shortage of polysilicons. We are expecting the module price will relatively stable and may have upwards pressure. But in the second half year, given more, I think, the polysilicon supply, we are relatively, optimistic for the downward trend for the polysilicon.
But are you giving yourself some pricing flexibility in the way you are writing your long-term contracts? So in case silicon prices stay higher for longer, you are not squeezed by that?
I think we have different arrangements, with our customers. Some of the customers, the module prices, they have some kind of linkage for the spot market, the polysilicons. Some of the contracts are, fixed.
But the ones that are variable, are those going up as a percent of total contracts?
Excuse me, can you speak again?
The number of contracts where module pricing is variable based on the spot price of polysilicon, is that kind of contract gaining in popularity right now?
I think it's depending on different regions, different customers. So it's it's hard to say, but some customers they like to based on their estimations they are more pessimistic, pessimistic or optimistic for the polysilicon price. So some of customers they're more confident, on the projections of polysilicon price they may, like to have the variable arrangements with us.
Okay, and a final question is on the N-type. You mentioned that you have got 16 gigawatts of N-type operational right now, but you also mentioned that the target for capacity for N-type cells at the end of 2022 is also 16 gigawatts. So I don't understand. You're not increasing the N-type cell capacity at all this year?
The N-type, the 16 gigawatts. Yeah, the 16 gigawatts is getting online, in the first quarter, but it's in the ramping up stage. So by the end of this year, we didn't have plan so far to increase again. So that is, the N-type, the 16 gigawatts is new for 2022, but it's getting ready in first quarter. So that is why, when we gave the guidance, by the end of the year, the N-type capacity is 16.9 gigawatts.
So you're saying right now it is not 4 gigawatts a quarter?
So sorry, let me explain. We got 16 gigawatts N-type TOPCon cell capacity online in the first quarter. The 16 gigawatts is annual capacity, and it's in the ramping up stage. And we expect to the capacity will reach to full capacity by the end of second quarter. So so far we have already get 16 gigawatt capacity for the N-type.
But the goal for end of the year is also 16 gigawatts N-type. Out of the 40 gigawatt cell capacity, the target is only 16 gigawatts N-type, or did I read that wrong?
You're right. Because by the end of last year, we had only, 24 gigawatts cell capacity. The additional new 16 gigawatts this year. So get total number, 40 gigawatts.
Okay. I'll take it up later, Charlie. Thank you. Congratulations again.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Tony Sa with Bank of China. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks, management. Thanks for your time. And this is Tony Fei from BOTI. I have two questions. First one is also a follow-up on the N-type products. So I understand the new plants are still ramping up, and you may not have the final color on the cost side. But maybe can you speak of the kind of by design, these new N-type products? Now, wafer and cell, are they thinner compared to the PERC products, so they consume less poly?
So, Tony, can you repeat your question regarding the N-type the poly?
Yeah.
You mean the wafer?
Yeah, I mean
the N-type wafer?
Yeah, the wafer and the cell, their thickness, are they thinner compared to the PERC modules, so they consume kind of less polysilicon, so it will help on your production cost side?
Yeah, you're right. We have that advantage, you know, for the N-type, not only the TOPCon cell, you know, solar cell productions, as well as we are, you know, doing the N-type wafer, you know, N-type modules. For the N-type wafer, it's have an advantage of, you know, thinner, you know, the wafer, right, compared to the P-type. And we think it's going to, from the, I think that perspective, you know, N-type, wafer, you know, it could get some advantage from the, you know, from the consumption and less consumption of the polysilicon.
Got it. So you just said that you are not going to add new N-type cell capacity this year. So if in the coming quarters you see the premium of the N-type product is certain enough, so do you think you'll continue to invest in the future and early retire your existing P-PERC cell capacities?
For the next stage, the capacity expansion plan, we are still evaluating. And, you know, if we will, let's say if we plan to invest additional more, you know, let's say solar cell capacities, it's 100%, it's a top count N-type, you know, cell capacity. But at this stage, we are still in the evaluation stage.
Okay, got it. Thanks. So my last question is on your product mix. So last year, I guess your DG shipment should be around 30 to 35% of the total market shipment. So in this year, do you think the share of DG products should be higher than last year? And how does it help your margins? Because some of the new DG sales should be coming from China market. So do you see higher maybe sales channeling sales expenses on that front?
I think in the prepared remarks by Jenner, and we mentioned, you know, the DG roughly will increase around, you know, 40%, which is 30 to 35%, and we will focus not only, you know, in the overseas markets as well as China DG markets.
Okay, so do you think the DG kind of in the margin side, do you think the DG product has higher than the regular utility scale products?
Yeah, it's helpful. You know, DG, it's the ASP, you know, the customer, you know, sensitivities for the price is more, it's better. You know, so we expect to get more higher margin and from the DG perspective.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Charlie. That's all from me.
Okay.
Thank you. This is the end of today's call. Thank you all for participating. You may now disconnect your lines.